Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Bingo. Never in any other sports either, right?
No.
Jeez.
Two Brazilian Absolutely legends, not. Rubinho and Dani Alves, both of them in jail for rape.
Yep.
Right now.
Happy Monday morning, everybody.
Yeah. Where do we go from there, huh?
Yeah. If you're not in prison.
Yeah. If you had a successful weekend not getting arrested, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
It's Footy Prime, everyone. Hello, Dubs and Jimmy and Craig. JC's just showing up. Hey, JC, Wunger. How's everyone's weekend? Good?
Not in jail. Great.
Not in jail. Woo! Hey, it's JC's birthday weekend, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Successful, JC. You got through it.
I had many cups of tea. I had a scone or three. I saw Dan Wong and Craig Forrest and a couple of our amazing follower fans at Drums and Flats up in the north of
north
Toronto.
North side of Toronto, yep.
Great. Interesting place. They have their light fixtures are drums. And I'm like, this is weird. What's that about? I'm like, oh, right. The name is Drums and Flats. Yeah,
but they also I thought it was just Great Chicken.
They did well, that was Great yeah. Chicken too.
Because that's yeah. the place that I went to on New Year's a couple of years ago out here in Pickering, Ontario. There's one out here as well.
Oh.
And that's the one where one of our listeners saw me in various states of intoxication and didn't introduce himself when he could have quite happily.
Charms, you know how they always say eight sheets to the wind? I think that's were you like 16? Were you double exponential?
It was New Year's.
Three sheets. Oh, sorry. So this
eight
is the problem.
Sheets.
So eight sheets is the Wonger. It's the Wonger level. It's that's the threshold.
Well, it's definitely not clean sheets, is it?
Yeah. That's for sure.
He's on cloud 10.
Was it good though?
Just above nine. No, oh geez. Can we not talk about my colonoscopy? Let's talk.
Was it a good gathering at Drums and Flats? Was it a good gathering for the match on Friday?
For considering they only threw it out a week ago, there were probably about 30 people for the match, including us, and it was great. We got to sit with a few of the supporters, Dave and Claudio and Mike and a few others. I'm sorry if I don't remember all your names, but it was a really nice gathering. Couple beers and what a result. So, I mean, it made the whole day watching. I mean, Schaffelberg's finish was great. Maybe that's what we'll lead in with.
Well, let's leave with this note, though. How was the mood of the group up until the first goal?
I'll let Craig decide on that one. It was...
Well... I wouldn't say I was nervous because Trinidad are just fucking terrible. but you just kind of wondered where the goal was going to come from.
That was a nice way of saying it. Everyone was nervous.
I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't really nervous.
Jimmy, you were calling the game. Were you nervous? Were you frustrated? What was your sense?
I was nervous when I saw the back line, how shaky it could be at times when it got in behind and they almost scored. Then I was like, ooh, we could be in a little bit of trouble here. But I didn't like the way that we played in the first half. As I said, it was a bit stale, not much happening. Everybody wanted the ball to their feet. Nobody is making runs in behind. And the problem is when you're playing against a back five and a four sitting in front and teams are bunkering in, you have to make those runs in behind to move players, to shift their shape, to open up space to get in behind. And we didn't do it. Everybody wanted the ball at their feet. I understand that they wanted to box as well the middle of the park with Kyle Larin and Jonathan David, but at times they're picking the ball so deep that they're miles away from goal. And I didn't like that. I thought maybe at times play with two up top and one underneath, and that way you can stretch them a little bit. But yeah, it was a bit stale, especially in that first half. Not much going on. I thought Buchanan, you know, I wanted to see him get down the line and kept on coming inside. Now, there was one time he blew past the defender. Once that defender knows your pace, it's panic mode for the defender. And it should be confidence for the winger now going, I can blow past this guy anytime. Just get at him, run him. And he didn't do it much. And I didn't like it. Yeah, granted, I mean, he came inside for the goal, but that really came out of nothing. But overall, I mean, yeah, we got the result that we needed, but was it a convincing performance with the squad that we had? And no, I don't think it was, especially against a Trinidad side who Craig mentioned before. They were poor. They are a poor team. That's probably one of the worst Trinidad teams I've seen in a long time. In fact, Craig and I were talking about the players that they used to have. When you mention you know, Stern John, Kenwin Jones, Russell Latipi, Shaka Hislop, you know, the players, Dwight York, you know, yeah. They used to, even their head coach, he was a great player. Like they used to produce players, an awful lot of players. Now, if you look at their team, I mean, half of them are playing in Trinidad. So yeah. It's a game that we should have absolutely dominated. And
blew. I texted Shaka. I said, Shaka, why are you so shit?
Yeah.
he said, I've given up criticizing. I've given up. He goes, I got no time for them because they're so done right now. I go, that's okay. We were like that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a half.
Yeah. I mean, another question, Jimmy, I'd like to ask you, and maybe Amy as well. We had 14 corners to zero, I think. And there wasn't a corner that threatened any of it. And I just thought,
no.
Any chance of changing it up a little bit?
I mentioned it on the call. I mean, they kept on swinging it into the box. The keeper was coming to get anything, or everything was getting cleared. And at 14 in total, I mean, after seven, I started saying, okay, now you got to mix it up. Draw some players out. Look for little short ones. Maybe you got a few tricks up your sleeve that you have on set pieces. Try something different. But they just kept on putting it back into the box. And we had no joy. I don't think we got in the end of one of them.
But that's what you saw finally when Schwanier was subbed in. Davies plays it to him short, passes it up to Schaffelberg, and he takes a touch out of his feet and smashes one from 30 yards and rings it off the post, right? So to your point, and I think Wheeler talked about them not having Vitoria as that target in the box. But you don't have to have somebody with stature or height. You just have to, and you mentioned it, Jimmy, on the call, you just have to be a little bit more creative with your movement. It just looked like they were swinging in there and hoping for the best. And it can't be that. You have to be more precise with your movement, more incisive. And that same kind of microcosm could be applied to the entire movement of that team in the attacking third in that first half. Like, who's going to be quickening the pulse of the game? Who's going to be dictating the tempo? Nobody. It was so slow and almost methodical. That was just in the worst way. That was just playing into Trinidad's hands, that it was very, very predictable from Canada.
Yeah. Is that a tactical fault, or is it the lack of that player, that number 10, essentially, someone that can dictate the tempo of a game? Because, listen, this pace out wide, we know that. You have some quality at the top of the pitch. You got a Stakio who played pretty well, maybe the heartbeat of the team, but there isn't that player, is there? You can stick in that position to unlock those deep blocks. Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, that doesn't have to be. That's not one player to unlock a deep block. That's a whole team to unlock a deep block. Everybody's got to move. And the thing is, when you're playing against a deep block like that, once you get in that final third, it's all about the rhythm and tempo of the game. That ball has to move. That's 1-2 touch football. Because the more the ball moves, the more the defenders start moving. If it's slow, then the defenders got an advantage because they can just move with it gracefully, keep the shape, no problem. But the minute that ball starts popping quick, 1-2 touch football, now players start getting pulled out a little bit more because your movement's quicker now as a defender. And then you start getting off balance a little bit because the ball's moving so quick. And then that's when you've got to make those penetrating runs in behind to even pull more defenders out of position, which opens up spaces for other players to come into. And we didn't. The tempo was way, way too slow. Way too slow for me.
Yeah, it seemed a side unclear on how to convert possession into real chance creation. Yeah. That's what was lacking for me. So you say 11 of those 14 corners were in the first half, and only 2 shots on goal. Like, it has to translate into more to more threat, and there just wasn't that. I mean, they had some success early on in isolating Buchanan to a lesser degree, but Davies 1v1 on the flanks. But then where's the variety? You know, how are you putting the defenders on their heels, as you were mentioning, Jimmy, and pulling players out, rotating in, and just getting that bite? Like, they talked about being ruthless. Where was that?
So was it, do you think it was the game plan then that was at fault here, or is it the personnel? Were they unable to do that?
I think it's the personnel, I think. Yeah, when you look at it, but it's also, you know, these games is, and you look at the players, you know, without Oso there, they're all under 30. These are important lessons that they're learning. I mean, obviously the game had massive implications, but you also can then take that away as a coaching staff, but also as individual players. And then your ability to understand what's called for in these certain, like, small moments of a game that can swing a result, you're able to control for that later on. So all these guys, despite it being disappointing, we wanted more out of them. We wanted them to be more threatening on the attack, create more in front of goal, really bring the side alive. Like, you just didn't see the spark on the attack. But hopefully they'll be able to imbue that into their game when they get more meaningful competition and in moments like this, when they face a lower block, and they're not going to face it, I don't think, in their opponents in Copa.
They'll be the low block.
Yeah. But, and Jimmy, you were talking about, and I just want to talk about your tone, because you said that you weren't nervous, but you were more frustrated. I watched the game last night because I was in Quebec City on Saturday and just kind of checking the score when I could. You could hear it in your voice. The Brennan gruffness quotient was through the roof at the end of that first half. It was very funny.
Yeah, I think you said more by what you didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, Jimmy, I know what you want to say right now. Mm-hmm. You kind of insinuated certain things, but there's frustration. Okay, Craig, do you think Morrow is any closer, or is he further away from the job full-time, having seen that performance now?
It's hard to predict. It's hard to know what they're thinking, really. He got the job done, you know. And we've talked about this before with his knowledge and his back history with, you know, John Herdman, and his knowledge of CONCACAF and everything else. So this was so important. I'm not going to put him out there quite yet as far as, you know, whether or not he's going to be or not. But I still think he's in with a shout, which isn't a bad thing. I got no problem with that.
My suspicion, though, is, and Jimmy, Dubs, you can come in on this, I think he's going to be more of a victim of where he's come from than anything, in that he still is an attachment to the past. It seems that Canada soccer right now really want to move forward with a fresh start, right? Kevin Blue's saying all the right things. We saw him address the Voyagers this past weekend as well. It seems like a brand new clean slate. We'll see what happens at the AGM in May. Is there going to be a new president? That could happen. Is he going to be a victim of the fact that he's attached that previous regime, which, right or wrong, might be, I think, what happens here? Do you agree or disagree, Dubs?
I kind of want to be measured in my answer. I think his ties to the previous regime perhaps works against him initially. But I think moving forward and establishing Canada as a footballing nation, a nation that's taken seriously worldwide, why not put a guy from here in charge? Like, that is perhaps moving in a different direction, putting a guy in charge who doesn't have European flavor, who doesn't have an accent. Why can't it be somebody from here? Maybe that's the new direction. Maybe that's what you double down on.
But maybe it is. Maybe it is. But maybe
yeah,
it's
maybe that's Bobby Smyrniotis,
right? Bobby Smyrniotis, yeah. Or mm-hmm. someone like that. Tommy Wilden Jr., who knows, right? A Canadian who has background in the game in this country. Jimmy, what's your thoughts? I mean, Mauro, like you said, he got the job done. You know, qualify for Copa, done.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a clean slate. I think that Kevin's going to be coming in, and I don't think he cares where you've been, what regime you were under. I think he's, for me, in my opinion, he would have to come in and base it on an honest opinion, regardless of where that individual comes from, because we've got to get the best individual that we can. And keep in mind, for that budget that we have in place, right? So remember, we're not going after a $2-4 million coach here. We got a coach maybe for a couple hundred grand, and you're going to say, okay, what's the best coach that we're going to get for this price point? And
yeah, we're rolling in money.
Right. And then, well, let's be honest.
Well,
right?
Herman was, what, $600,000-700,000 around there, wasn't he? Yeah.
You would think.
I don't know if that money's still there.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that money still there? Because that's one thing about being more. I think it's going to be about less.
When I say about, you know, being attached to a different regime, at the same time, one of the few positives of the previous, what, 3 or 4 years on the men's side was the men's team with John Herbin, right?
Yeah.
Very few people question him, and Mora was central to that, a huge part of that as John's right-hand man.
Yeah, but I think what they're going to look at now, they'll look at the last few games that he had against Jamaica. Jamaica's going to be very important. That result, how we ended up getting against Trinidad. Yes, he got the result done. Was it a convincing performance against Trinidad? It was a bit of a struggle for us to get through Jamaica and Trinidad. We got the job done, yes. But I think now they've got to look at the big picture and think, okay, is Mauro, yes, he is a Canadian guy. Can he get the best out of these players? Because if we perform the way that we performed against Trinidad in the Copa, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Let's be honest. So it's got to be a hell of a lot better. And then also, again, a manager that does come in for the price point that we're looking at. Does he have experience international football? Does he know the CONCACAF landscape? There's a lot that he's got to be well aware of. And to be fair, it's not just the CONCACAF landscape. It's going to be the world landscape because we're playing the Copa now against South American players, and then the World Cup's going to be completely different. European, Asian, African. I think they've got to be well-versed in world football, this next manager.
One thing that's great is that this Copa America will give them a chance to play against other confederations, other teams, because they just haven't done enough of that. They've, with the Nations League, they've played way too many games against a very, very poor CONCACAF nation or area right now.
Yeah.
And very the Dutch. Poor. That's the Dutch, right? You got that game in the build-up.
Yep, exactly. Well, exactly. So these teams are all in the top 50. Top 40. So this is a really good test for them, was exactly what they need.
Yeah. See, you know, keep in mind, the friendlies are good. You know, they're good. They're competitive. But nothing beats an international match where something's on the line, because a game is completely different than it is to a friendly. Completely different.
Is it, Dubs, is it crucial that the man or woman, whoever is who's in charge of Canada for Copa, is the same person who's in charge of Canada for the World Cup? Have they got to get that person in place full-time before Copa, or can they wait a little bit longer?
I think ideally you'd like to have some continuity there from, you know, tournament play, meaningful games, and translating that into hopefully success at the World Cup. But I don't think it's essential or critical. I think you want to just get the right person. So I think that the timing on that, I think if they rush through it and want to pull the trigger, I mean, it's really not a whole lot of time to work with, right, prior to June. So you're really against the clock here to get that person in. So, you know, you give Mauro more time, and maybe he confirms that, you know, he deserves to have that interim tag taken away and he's your guy, or maybe it's somebody different that you have your eye on. I think that still gives them enough time to get their bearings, the team to get their footing under a new philosophy, perhaps, or just different ideals that they're going to espouse. And then you move forward, and I think you're still organized and you're in good stead ahead of 26.
So what's your expectations for Copa? I mean, okay, forget the first game. It's going to be incredible, by the way, for Canadian football, playing Argentina and hopefully Messi if he's healthy. And then you got Peru and you got Chile. All right, Peru are no world beaters, but they're a decent team and a hard team. You see this Chilean squad? They're old. This is a last hurrah, the farewell to a previous generation. Alexis Sanchez, Gary Medel, Arturo Vidal. These are quality players 5 years ago. Is there an opportunity there? I tell you, this group, it doesn't intimidate me nearly as much as the World Cup group did. Let me say that.
Didn't we say the same thing about Croatia?
They're old. No, come on. People did, but that was a lazy narrative. It's Croatia.
Chile's got that something extra, though, that sort of intangible. You know, they've got that spice.
Oh, there's spice there, right?
Yeah,
that's spice. I wonder what the reception's going to be like.
Well, it's not. The thing is, it's in the States, right? And it's going to be all Chileans, all Peruvians, and all Argentinians. But it's not like it's in South America, you know, in the hotbed of football. It's so. I wish it was. I wish it was, you know, being hosted by, I don't know, Colombia. Not to rub it in, Jimmy, Craig. Or, you know, like a real, like, hotbed of football. But still, it's going to be good. The atmosphere will be fantastic. There'll be full stadiums. It's going to be something to behold, isn't it?
Yeah. And we'll have a couple thousand Canadians there, I'm sure.
Hey, listen. Let's surprise Canadian football fans. Let's surprise the world. Let's surprise Craig. That should be some kind of marketing campaign. Surprise Craig.
Yeah.
Right? Voyagers, get on it. All right? Yeah.
We're happy to get 30 people in a bar. Forget about traveling.
But speaking of that, the Voyageurs, you could hear them. You could hear them at that game, the stadium.
And the players and the coaches.
You could hear everybody. The echo was on point. But Kevin Blue apparently made an appearance at a bar nearby. I don't know if it was pregame or what, but
he
showed his face and did some glad handing. And I think that's good.
What do you mean?
More of what he's been doing.
In Texas.
Mm-hmm. In Frisco,
He met with the Voyagers, It's on social.
Oh.
Yeah. And you refer to them as their leaders, and that's a good way to put it, because they should be.
He's the one who tweeted out, "We are inside you," right?
That was deleted pretty quickly.
Come to America, inside you. And it looked kind of like a vagina, didn't it? Like the way the players were, you know?
So maybe the Nations League should be a pink cup, not the W.
What happened with that one? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, let's not get into that. I feel
it got deleted, and then I think
there's a lot of trouble for that.
Was it Tom Stewart? He ended up reposting it.
Yeah,
who did?
Screenshotted it. He said, "Remember when they posted this?" It's tremendous.
Well, it's the best moment of the night, probably, apart from the final result. And that's not true. Schaffelberg's goal was great.
Oh, my God.
Schaffelberg's, I mean, he's someone that's kind of arisen. And another great move, TFC, by the way. Well done. Mm. But someone that's going to maybe force himself into... Jimmy's got it. It's a screensaver, in fact.
It's a well-lit vagina right in the middle there.
It's like a good visit to the gynecologist.
That's right. Vagina. It's like the old smear.
Is Kevin Blue the speculum then?
He would be.
Yes.
The speculum. Is that the new nickname? The
speculum. Well, if Schaffelberg's the maritime Messi, then Kevin Blue's the speculum of Canada soccer.
Who are the stirrups?
The Voyageurs.
The Voyageurs are the stirrups.
Yep.
Well, holding everything together. Or not, actually not together, apart.
That's right. The great divide.
The 100th meridian.
Wait, Jimmy was saying he screenshotted immediately. Jimmy, did you know it was off base immediately?
Yeah, right away. I had a little giggle. I was like, "Oh, they blew it here."
same as screenshotting Jimmy on. As I said, I wasn't able to catch the game live, but I checked socials after, and I think it was Carrie who posted it, and it was Jimmy sitting in between Jenkins and Jordan, and with the badge signal.
Yeah,
for everybody to see, and I was like, "Yes, Jimmy." Yeah. Second only to the Wheels and Jimmy banter when longtime Halifax Wanderer stalwart and player for Trinidad, Rampersad, he gets subbed off, and Wheeler says to Jimmy, "He did well today, Jim." Andre Rampersad. Pregnant pause and silence from Jimmy. I was like, "Tremendous."
Were you shaking your head, Jimmy?
Yeah. It's like, I'm not giving any credit to these Trinidad players.
I laughed out loud and I rewound it and watched it and listened to it at least three or four times.
That's your new phone, isn't it?
It's like Jimmy covers CPL. Like, he could just talk about this guy and, mm-hmm. and CPL.
I felt the wheels a few times, actually, Jimmy. He's like, help him out here. You're like, just this disdain in your silence of what you're watching with spoke volumes, but like Wheels just like sets you up and like there's nothing, like, fuck, help him out.
My Canada hat was on.
It was my laugh too. I was watching it on my phone. I watched the whole game on my phone, which isn't ideal in an arena. Yeah, which wasn't great, but I got to see enough of it anyway. But yeah, listen, you know what, the term job done, when I first started using it, it's a very football term, isn't it? Job done. And when I first started using it years ago, you know, not many people used it over here. And now everyone fucking uses it. I see it everywhere. And it's lost its power.
Mm. Is that what you're most angry about? Or you're just mad that everyone else is using a turn of phrase that you feel like you kind of coined?
Yeah. No, I brought it over. I feel like I brought it over to Canada. I didn't coin it.
See, you know? I never heard it before until Peterman on Seinfeld, and when Elaine took over the publishing company, and he comes back and then just says, "Elaine, here's to," thinking that she's going to say "job well done."
Kudos, Elaine, on a job done.
That was it.
Peterman.
What a great character.
Brilliant character, yeah. Yeah. The speculum of Seinfeld in many ways.
That's right.
Yeah.
Important figure. What was I saying? Job done. Oh, yeah, Schaffelberg. Yeah, no one mentioned Schaffelberg. You know, let's talk about him a little bit, because is he going to force himself into contention to start, do you think? Has he got that potential as a footballer? He provides that dynamicism that Canada needs, I think. Now, they have some quality out wide, but maybe that allows different formations, I don't know, a different way to use Fonzie. Can Fonzie move inside? Is that a potential, or do you just use him where he's best? What does Schaffelberg do for you, Jimmy?
I like him a lot. I said it during the game. I don't know how to understand why TFC got rid of him. Doesn't make sense to me. I always like the way that he plays. I like how direct he is. He wants to get at players. Every single match, he seems to cause problems. And I think there is an opportunity for him. But where he fits into this squad, does he get in front of Davies? Does he get in front of Buchanan? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know where you're going to end up putting him, especially in the formation that they've just played. I think he's more of a 4-3-3, stick him out wide and let him just run at players and get him behind. But, you know, it's a tough decision on whatever manager comes in, how you're going to get him into your squad, because he is a great player for me. I like him, and I think he's a huge asset. Or maybe you just leave him on the bench and you bring him on that last 30 minutes or so just to cause havoc.
Tejan, I know you mentioned him earlier, but he looked like a player who hasn't played very much football in the last little while to me. He had his moments, mm-hmm. but he seemed to be lacking that a bit of confidence, apart from that fucking stupid little thing he tried to do over the guy's head outside the box. What was that? You know, the little flick?
It was awesome.
Right.
I actually thought that wasn't bad. I thought
really?
It was
really it didn't work though.
No, it didn't work, but I thought it was a bold move and good effort.
That's big timing it though, isn't it? Yeah. A little bit. Doesn't that deserve like a stud to the knee at some point?
Yes, probably.
Yeah, thank you, Dubs. It does, right? I know you would have been
delivered it, yes.
Yeah. Right.
But that's what Canada needs more of. We don't, I think if that would have come off, that's all we're talking about, right? So go have the balls to try it. And sometimes it's not gonna come off. But
it's the right area to try it. He's not in his own 18-hour box.
Same area that Boyan tried it.
Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, but I think like we're talking about Schaffelberg, we're talking about Buchanan, you're talking about different players, but is there merit to the discussion about, you know, a guy playing in MLS doing really well? What's that?
No, I don't hear anyone.
Oh.
He's having issues.
That's okay. I can keep soldiering on.
Yeah, go on.
But a guy like Schaffelberg, who's really found his way, now he just has starts in Nashville and is really excelling and he's like full of confidence and he gets to bring that to the national side versus a guy like Buchanan, who doesn't have many club minutes under his belt. So do we have to reevaluate or maybe lower expectations for wanting to see guys in Canada kit go and play in these top tier places, which is what Herdman was always talking about. We need players to kind of for the notoriety for Canada to gain that respect, but just for them to be in these places so that they're able to develop and grow. But if he's not able, sure, he's in the environment, but if he's not able to get any meaningful minutes, like, is that really the decision that you want to be making? Like, you know, we keep talking about Tejan being at Inter, like, great. But it's not that great if he's not getting minutes, is it?
No. And we were talking about this yesterday, me and Jimmy, about, you know, is he that type of player that needs to be playing those minutes to be able to bring that to the national team? And he looked a little bit rusty. He looked as though he hasn't played a lot of minutes. And I'm not sure that that's a problem or it was just a one-off.
Well, yeah, I think, look, your job as a manager is, yeah, for sure. You want players playing in the top teams, but those players that are playing in the top teams have to be playing week in and week out. It's no good to them sitting and getting a game every 3 weeks or playing a bit of reserve team football, but you're in the environment. No, you need to be playing week in and week out. And your job as a manager is to take the player at the moment who is in form. And who is going to be an impact player on that day? That's your job. Whoever's in form. If Schaffelberg's playing week in and week out and he's on fire, he's scoring goals, creating opportunities, and Buchanan's at Inter Milan and he's on the bench, coming off here and there, getting some reserve team football to keep his minutes going and keep his fitness levels high, you're taking Schaffelberg. Mm. In my opinion, you're taking Schaffelberg because he's in form. I don't care where you're playing. It's who's in form.
Mm-hmm. And the devil's advocate argument, sorry, Wanger, is a guy like Kyle Aaron, who continues to produce and under pressure in the moments where Canada really needs goals, he continues to pop up and to show up for this team despite club form sometimes. He's just a guy who's always able to find it when he gets with the national team. So that's, I mean, not that I disagree with what you're saying, Jimmy, but he's somebody who seems to be an outlier in terms of that environment. But you look at
Kyle, strikers are different though as well, Dubs, right? Strikers will go missing for 98 minutes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they'll show up and bang, they'll score you goal and win you the match 1-0. Did Kyle Lahren have a great game? No, against Trinidad. But what did he do? Gets an opportunity, finishes a bang. There you go. Thank you very much. Let's go home.
How did he finish that, Jimmy? Because you didn't say it enough on the broadcast.
No, I love the way that I love it when a striker does that. Just opens up and passes it in.
said it about 12 times. I loved it.
Because it's important, especially young kids need to understand. You don't need to smash it all the time. Good players pass it into the back of the net. Mm-hmm. If I pass it 15 yards, I don't drill it into that person. What's the difference if I'm shooting on net? Pass it in. That's where I'm at with that anyways. So that's my piece. But with going back to Lahren, what has he got? 26 goals in international duty now? Mm. You have to bring the man in. You have to bring him in regardless of his situation because he can score.
Well, it's not as if...
Form for 90 minutes. Other players around him might have to dig in, but you know if he gets one opportunity, he can finish off the team for you.
I missed the question there, but it's not as if Theo... Well, Ike Igbo really did a great job. He wasn't fantastic in giving the opportunity. He was playing well for his club. Theo Bear, we'll see. You know, if he's someone that can continue it for the rest of the season, right? It's an important last 10 games or so for a lot of these players. with Copa on the horizon. How cool is it to say that, by the way, with Copa on the horizon? That's amazing. It is pretty exciting, isn't it? What do you think, answer truthfully, what is Argentina thinking right now of their opening match against Canada? Craig? Jimmy? Anyone?
I bet they don't even know who it is yet. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Why would they care?
I don't think they care who they play.
No.
I was just looking at Laren's goals, and he scored one goal against anybody outside of CONCACAF. He fills the net against Puerto Rico, Dominica, a couple goals. U.S. Virgin Islands, those powerhouse. Dominica again, Bermuda, Cayman Islands, Aruba, Haiti, Martinique, Haiti.
Sounds like a Beach Boys song.
Yes. Bermuda. Aruba. You know.
Yeah, the wrong one, Charms.
Huh?
It's the wrong one she was referring to.
No, but I started singing before she referred to it, though.
Oh, I see.
I think.
Oh, it's my mistake.
It's your fault.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that, Charms.
I thought you'd comment on my hitting the notes perfectly there, but forget about it. It's okay. Sorry. Keep going, Craig. Who else has he scored against?
Well, he scored against Qatar. That's the only country he scored outside of CONCACAF. That powerhouse.
Not that he's played many against them. He hasn't had many opportunities, though.
No.
And Jimmy said 26 goals before. He's up to like 28, is he not? Or isn't it more than that? I think David's at 26.
Yeah, he's the all-time. Yeah, him and John David are going back and forth for being the all-time goal-scoring leader.
Yeah. So before we go to commercial break, I just wanted to make the comment as a layperson about Schaffelberg. He's definitely not afraid of the moment. And that is something that... Mm-hmm. As someone who's followed the Canadian national team for a long time, and people who were, hey, I'll take that shot, that gives me a lot of confidence in this kid. And, you know, Laren is always consistent. There's something about knowing that he's there that solidifies that front line and puts the ball in when he has to. I have to say, Jonathan David didn't do a lot for me again. I don't want to bash him. Wonderful guy. But we were talking about him last week. And this doesn't, like, these are, Craig said, they're watching him do everything from national team play to Lille to, you know, these are those things where they have to remain consistent. And you can't just, I don't know, doesn't seem like he's bringing it to these kind of do or die games.
Yeah, he's playing a different role, though. With Canada.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, Forrest. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying the partnership between Laren and David looks like quite a misunderstanding between them.
Say that more.
I don't see much of a partnership.
Yeah. they don't seem to have any chemistry together.
No. I think with those two, they do have moments where they connect well, but it seems like it's a huge effort between both of them to try to get onto that level. You'll see little glimpses of what they can do where they link up and then they go and they get behind. But, you know, a lot of the time their movement is quite similar as well. And I think the two of them both are great finishers, but they just need more time together and working on their patterns and working on their movements. If one's coming in short, one's getting in behind. If one's out wide, who's going to support? It's just little things you need to work with them. But you've got to sit down with both of them and just talk about certain movements and patterns of how you want to play. Because that one there, it was like, okay, Ugbo, you're gonna stay up top and you're going to stretch the back line. Laren and David, you're going to pop into these little pockets and these holes. And as soon as we get it, you're going to turn and you're going to go. But it's for me, it's you're asking them to play completely different roles and you don't have much time to work with them. So you got to try to keep things as simple as possible when you're with the national program. It's very, very simple because club football is always changing, but you have plenty of time to work with those players and work on tactics. National team, keep it simple. Certain movements you're going to expect from them to do, and then that's it because you don't have the hours to sit there and work with them.
Yeah, and that maybe goes back to what Sharon was saying early on. Was it the game plan? Was it the personnel? And I think on paper, playing that box with Ugbo as the focal point, ideally in your attack, is that nine, and then Laren and David playing underneath him, it allows for those guys to maybe be doing different things. For one to be probing deeper and the other one dropping off. And it's interesting, Wonger, that you're saying that John David was underwhelming for you, But I wrote down in my notes as I was watching the game at John David appreciation. Clean, clinical touch all over the pitch. Tidy, dropping deeper, being that connecting piece. Big blocks defensively. So it wasn't maybe a 9-on-10 performance overall. But when Canada got that first goal, when Laren scored it, and Trinidad was forced to throw bodies forward to try to find the equalizer, the game did open up and he found more space there. Same as Jason Russell Rowe. When he got inserted into that game, he naturally slotted into that left half space. And I really liked what he did and what we saw from him. And that turn on Schaffelberg's goal, when he finds himself over on the right, and then he's the one that gets the ball to David before he passes it over to Schaffelberg on the left before he blows the doors off everybody with that finish. Good things later on that came of it, but I think you see things from Jonathan David that are a little bit stifled because, to Jimmy's point and to Forrest, there's, you know, not a lack of chemistry, but seemingly trying too hard to do the individual things right. And the cohesiveness, or that the two of them as a tandem, doesn't always come off.
Well, that's, I think in my notes, I wrote beer good, wings hot, bum sore. So those three that really worked for me.
Pretty good Saturday night, Wonger.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to throw to commercial and we'll be right back.
Are we?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, go ahead. Now we're right back.
Now we're right back.
Yep.
Just before we move on from the Canada game, I think that's the issue, though, with being one of the better players, right? So John David, for example, clearly one of the better players, probably the second best player, you know, overall in the team, is that they'll ask a lot more of you than perhaps your club will. You ask to do different things, and that's because of your skill set. So you won't see him, you know, with Lille, he's a goal scorer, and that's what he's known for. A carry's got to be more than just that, right? So that's, I guess, you see it with Fonzie as well, don't you? You see it with all good players. Who is it? Alaba, David Alaba, right, with Austria, and where he plays compared to with
right
his,
that guy.
Yeah, that guy. You know, yes, Real Madrid, one of the greatest right backs of all time. But now he plays centrally for his country, and it's a very different position, right? He's forced to do a lot more. Anyway, moving on. The States won the World Cup yesterday. Well, the Nations League, but you know, the Nations League, but they beat Mexico. Before we get to Mexico, does anyone care that the States won it again? They've only ever won it. I think in 4 years, they've won four straight, haven't they?
Three.
Is it three, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, between Mexico and the United States, they've won every major tournament except for one.
And Craig Forrest, actually, you had an interesting tweet because a lot of people are talking about Canada's first qualification to Copa America. But yeah. Would you like to fact check all these people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them, Forrest.
Screw you, CBS, and your crappy stats.
Yeah. Yeah. We qualified, but we got pulled out by the government because I think the cartels were threatening to kill some players. It might be a good idea to.
Yeah, I suppose so. You would have still gone, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was an adolescent right then, so he always pulled out.
They called Honduras. They called Honduras, and Honduras is like, dangerous in Colombia. What? We'll come.
That's right. Pussycats.
And they couldn't lace our boots at the time, Honduras, and they ended up finishing third in Copa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We battered them.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you could have won Copa had you gone there.
We would have had a good run.
Craig Forrest quote out of contest, out of context. We could have won Copa.
And Argentina was in our group as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but without Messi.
And they pulled out as well, Argentina and us.
Yeah.
Say pull out more.
Yeah.
The rhythm method. The rhythm method.
So the States won. Yeah, does anyone, no one cares, right? No one wants to get into that.
Well, I watched the game and I thought they played really well. The Americans were at a different level. Mexico were not even really in it. I didn't think. I thought the U.S. controlled that for large periods of time. Reyna was great. Pulisic was dangerous.
How about that Adams goal, Forrest?
Adams. I mean, where did that come from, by the way?
Right? Like 30 yards out.
Yeah. Adam at 33 yards. Ochoa was leaning to his left trying to get a little view past his defender, and he didn't ever set himself properly. I mean, from 33 yards out to beat you inside the post by 2 yards, that's a – if you made the net 6 yards by 6 feet high and that still beat you, that's a bit – that's a bit much from 33 yards.
Here we go, Craig, criticizing the goalkeeper.
Well, no, I don't normally do that, but I mean, just saying, from 33 yards, that's a it's not gone in off the post or anything. He wasn't anywhere near it.
And a guy who hasn't scored for club or country for over 2 years. So actually his teammate had a pretty funny line. Chris Richards said, usually when Tyler shoots, you go ahead and get back into your position. Or it's going into the stands. So I think everybody was thrilled. And especially a guy who's working back to full fitness, right? Has missed over a year with a hamstring injury. He's on controlled minutes. Like he knew he was coming out at halftime.
Maybe they tightened up his hamstring because that was a fucking rocket.
Yeah.
Even at halftime, the guys were saying, I have never seen him hit a ball like that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Amazing.
He's a good player. I like Tyler Adams. He's a really good player. I've always enjoyed him.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Bournemouth still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's at Bournemouth.
Like I said, he's been hurt so much. Yeah.
Good for the States. They put in a good performance.
Yeah, they're a good team.
The Mexican fans were getting frustrated, eh? By the end of the game, they were chanting the homophobic chant like you'd never known. Every time Turner kicked a goal kick, it was crap. Just, here we go again.
Dude, I mean, what's going to happen now?
What are they going to do?
Nothing. It would be a fine, maybe a home game ban, maybe. But nothing significant that will stop them.
But you have to start doing something meaningful, taking a hard line on these chants, whether they're racist chants or whether they're homophobic chants, these discriminatory chants. You have to do something that's more than just platitudes or fines or empty stadiums. It doesn't work. Right? Take them, like take fixtures away from them, remove them from tournaments, do something that's going to be really impactful.
Can I ask, has anything worked? And I'm not just talking CONCACAF. Has a federation kind of turned their discipline into a paradigm that is, hey, we can use that going forward? Has that worked anywhere? I'm just wondering right now. And that's not because I know
it's a good question. I would say no, I don't think it has worked.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I remember we were talking about bananas and, you know, anti-black racism, Craig Sharms with Deitch 4.5 years ago. This is how one of our podcasts started off. And it seems like there's this community of assholes who want to ruin it for the rest of the people. And they don't care because they don't care.
But they would care if you stuck. If as much as people
I don't
say,
know
if
they will.
The thing is, they want it. It's same with hooligans, right? And they're not fans. They are. Sadly, they are fans.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not fans.
So if you start kicking teams out of tournaments, right, that would work, I think. If you said, "Sorry, Mexico, we've warned you too many times. You're not in Copa."
Mm.
That would have an effect. I would hope. If it didn't, then forget it. There's no point doing anything. Right.
The problem is they fill stadiums all over.
Yeah, then the financial part of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, whether we like it or not, that's a big factor. They pay for these tournaments.
Yeah, it's true.
Then that's why, you know, from a region's perspective, like CONCACAF and then FIFA, that's why it would be impactful. That's why it would resonate worldwide.
Oh, it would. But I don't know if it would change anything. That's what I'm saying.
I think that it would, because then you could hold that up and say, this is perhaps a repercussion for your behavior as a fan, because they're meant to have more security in place to try to target the people who are starting these chants. But then when you're not in charge as a federation of the game, you know, you're outsourcing that to the region or to, you know, these other governing bodies, be it CONCACAF or FIFA, then they're meant to be the people who are picking them out. And that's a very tough job to do anyway. And then it's just rampant. And then they're just chants that are coming as you heard on the goal kicks. But you have to do something. And then we saw the game in Forest. I watched the end of that game. You watched it in entirety, but they paused the game in injury time. And then finally the referee just called it. So there were measures in place that prior to that happening, where he's stopping or he or she are stopping the game on the pitch, there are announcements going on the PA system in stadium to try to get them to stop. But it seems to incite them further. And then, you know, what they're doing on the pitch isn't working either. So you need to put something, if you're really going to address this beyond some platitudes, then do something that's actionable, like walk the talk. If you really say no to racism, if you really say no to discrimination, fucking do something about it.
Mm-hmm. But do you care? Do you really think FIFA care that much? I don't.
No, they care about the bottom line, DeForest point.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. You're right. You're bang on it with everything you say there. But FIFA don't care enough. They'd rather make money than deal with this problem. Otherwise, they would make that call.
I play devil's advocate a little bit here. Ochoa took a goal kick late in the game, too. And I think the Americans in the stadium did the same thing to him. Now, if you're thousands of American fans, and this is a thing going on with Mexico, and you join into the chants, we got a problem.
How many of them actually knew what it meant, I wonder? They're just idiots copying.
Oh, they know.
Intimidating. Yeah.
But this has been going on an awful long time as well. Like, I remember even back for us when we were playing and we'd be down in Honduras, El Salvador.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the racism that was coming out of the stands and what you're getting called on goal kicks or throw-ins. You would not believe
it. I remember the chant at Azteca, but I didn't know what they were saying.
I never bowed.
You're like, hello, my friends.
Queen of England going by. Traeger with his glove. Thanks for that. Thanks for the toss.
No, but it still goes on today. And it happened 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when we were playing, getting absolutely abused.
What has been done so far, though? I know they've done empty stadiums, right, Charms? And that hasn't worked. They did that to Mexico, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
They did that to Mexico during World Cup qualifications, did they not? Did Mexico not play a couple of games?
In my brain, I'm remembering Mexico.
Yeah, I think so.
And that didn't stop them. So I think the next level, Amy, you're right, if you're going to make a real case for this, is, guys, you're either empty stadiums or you're not playing.
Yeah, but I think that's been suggested before, right? Threatened. But it never, and it doesn't stop them.
Yeah, a threat's not good enough, obviously.
No, exactly, right? So it's got to be, you know, FIFA or CONCACAF come out and say, if this happens again, you are now, you know, banned for the next tournament. That's what has to happen. But it ain't going to happen.
And,
playing behind closed doors in Central America, you know, Mexico, if the team gets banned, do you think it changes their life? They have their beliefs. They think what they think. You're not convincing them. You're not changing their beliefs. And if you ban a football match, do you think that's going to change them? No. Do they care? No.
It's societal. You're right. It's more than just sports.
It's going to do nothing. Maybe in North America, we're you know, our thought process is different of how we think and inclusion and diversity. And a lot of those countries, they don't give a shit about all that. So if you ban
but they give a shit about their team, and they give a shit about their team and their standing worldwide and their FIFA rankings.
No, that's what they do. No,
they don't. They go in and support their team. They're still going to go watch their domestic football. You're talking international football, a couple of games a year. They still go watch their domestic football. It's not going to make a difference. You're not going to change their opinions. It doesn't hurt.
They were ready to burn it all down at that point. They were 2-0 down, and it got really bad because earlier in the game, I didn't hear any of those chants.
Yeah.
But at 2-0, when they were basically beat, they just figured
change. You can affect change, right? You guys know late 90s, English teams banned from Europe, banned from European competition for years because of hooliganism. Banned, right? It set back English football years, and that's why the Premier League was then born out of that. And all Cedar Stadiums because of Hillsborough, all these changes in the late 90s because UEFA said, because UEFA said, no, you're not welcome in Europe anymore. It did affect cultural change to a certain degree. There are still freaking dickheads, you know, hooligans, racists in English football. Of course there are. It's still a big problem, but they changed it. And hooliganism didn't stop, but it was controlled. So there are ways to use sport, I think, to change cultural issues to a certain degree. I think football.
In some ways, you can be more influential using that as a lens or your prism through which you see things. And
I just think that what Jimmy said, though, about the amount of matches for international teams doesn't have the sway as a fervent fan of a club team. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a big play with it because these guys, hey, your team wasn't going to make it. Like Mexico, the way they're playing right now, they're not going to be world beaters. Right. No. So it's kind of like, I don't give a shit. I've got a shitty life and I'm going to call people names. Mm-hmm. It's sad is what it is.
Yes. But you just don't sit there and on your hands.
That's not my
continue to make spineless decisions. I know you're not saying that, but like, it's not going to change anything. So you continue and you maintain the status quo, which hasn't done anything. Right.
No, the status quo is stupid. Yeah.
If any national sporting body is more self-important than FIFA, I don't know what it is. Right? So we can change this. Sure, we can if they do it right, but they won't. Anyway, we should probably call it a day. We'll get to all our MLS, of course, later in the week in our three questions. TFC won, and they lost because Insigne's done his hammy. Didn't look good, did it? I wonder how long he's out for. Vancouver lost to Real Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. Montreal's back in action next week.
Correct.
Against who?
DC, I believe.
Is it DC, is it? Okay. And what else do we have for us?
Our Tony bet parlay? Fail.
Yeah, we all failed. Everything failed.
Well, my 3-1 Portland made no... Philly beat to crush them. And I'm like, so your second team is better than Portland's full team. Almost.
It was a weird weekend, though, for MLS because over 100 players were on international duty. I know TFC played Atlanta. Atlanta's, not a great start to the season, but they're a good team. But they're missing, I think, 6 players, right? So it's just weird.
And your England team, what happened there?
Lost to Brazil. I know. Brazil, embarrassing as that.
Yeah.
Hendrick scored, though. The kid's going to be pretty good.
It's still 17, right?
Oh, yeah. Youngest player to ever score at Wembley on the pitch. So, yeah, I mean, it's been constant for Wembley. Lots of concerts and lots of shagging in the washrooms. Yeah. So, there has been teen sex. Presumably, I think. Both the old Wembley and the new Wembley. Probably more at the old Wembley, actually. There's probably better security at the new Wembley. Less sex.
England's first loss at Wembley in 21 games, though.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yep.
That's what you think of Wembley. Less sex.
the new Wembley.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Friendlies. I used to care about friendlies. I don't care about friendlies anymore at all. It means nothing. You know, Germany beat France. Does that mean Germany is now going to win Euro? Fucking probably. doesn't mean that much, does it really? And should I care more about friendlies? No, I used to as a kid. Love friendlies.
The restaurant?
Friendlies? Is that a restaurant?
Yeah. Whenever we go to soccer tournaments in the U.S., we used to go to Friendlies all the time. They'd have like an ice cream bar. It was like the best place to go as a kid.
Really? Good times? Yeah. Good food?
Good. That might be their slogan. I'm not joking.
It is.
No, no, it was less sex at Friendly's. Same thing.
That's right, family friendly.
Went to a bar this weekend, actually, in this tournament, this ringette tournament in London, Ontario, and one of the guys found a cockroach in his beer.
It is nice. Beer.
Mm. Mm. And he wouldn't drink it.
What was it doing there?
Hmm?
What was it doing there?
It was hammered. It was freaking hammered, I guess.
Backstroke.
You're going for a swim?
Yeah, drown proofing. Yeah,
exactly. No, but they'll go upset. Like, just, who cares? You know,
don't embarrass us. Just drink it.
They don't drink much, do they? These small little creatures to take it out. Anyway, that was pretty prime. Anything else you want to get to before we say goodbye? Apart from, of course, mentioning our wonderful sponsors, Tony Bett and Fubo TV.
Oh, we made it to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, you guys.
We did do that. Oh, yeah, that's exciting. So thank you, everyone.
The world will change.
Mm-hmm. It will.
Footy Prime will get resonated, amplified.
Mm, a good resonation is never a bad thing, is it?
No. Once again, the new Wembley.
So, yeah, stay tuned all week. We got a lot of podcasts coming up. Three questions, all things MLS, box to box. We've got a guest booked, confirmed yet for this week? I know we were talking. Is our guest confirmed?
Yes, confirmed. Kaylin Kaya will be joining us on Thursday for box to box.
Wicked. That's great. Awesome. All right. Until next time. Enjoy your football and all these friendlies. Big games in Europe today, by the way, which we'll get to on Wednesday's Foundation. Till then, cheers.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Keep buying newspaper.
Oh, no, sorry.
Just kidding.
It's Friendly's ice cream. There it is.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.